97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis and my co-host Bo Matthews. And joining us for this discussion is Richard West. He is the mayor of New Melle. He is also running for state rep out there in that area in District 63. Richard joined us on the show this week. So if you missed the radio show, make sure you go back and check that out. You can get the podcast for that in the same place that you got the podcast that you are listening to right now. So you can hear Richard on the show this week, and we wanted to spend a little extra time getting into some of the issues and have a little deeper discussion with Richard West today on the podcast exclusive. So, Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for your time putting in a little OT with us. Thank you. How's it going?
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So for people that didn't get a chance to listen to the radio show, before we get into stuff real quick, just kind of introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them how they can follow you on the internet, website, social media, all that stuff.
Sure. Again, I grew up basically on the St. Louis City, Richmond Heights border. I attended grade school in Richmond Heights and graduated high school at Bishop DeBerg. After graduating high school, I went to work for the St. Louis City Police Department as a communication specialist, a glorified word for a dispatcher. I did that until I was old enough to enter the police academy, and I entered the Eastern Missouri St. Charles County Police Academy, and upon graduation became a police officer for 18 years. And during that time, I was a detective, a canine officer, and a patrol officer. I was also a member of the Greater Metropolitan Major Case Squad.
Wow.
And I was a firearms expert and armor for my department. Upon retiring, I went to work for a company called Dying Corps under the auspices of the Department of State, and I was an international police officer in Iraq, actually in Kurdistan, Iraq, for 28 months.
Wow.
Upon coming home, my wife and I, while I was over there, quickly I learned how important a strong government can be, and I vowed that when I came back home, I was going to get a little bit more involved in government here at home so that our country doesn't end up like some of the other ones I had seen.
Man, that is an amazing backstory. We could talk for hours, I'm sure, about all the experiences that you've had. And as I mentioned, you are the mayor of New Melle. You've been elected out there, what'd you say, four different times? I mean, what a wild ride from being in law enforcement and then being in law enforcement over in Iraq, and then now the mayor of New Melle, and now running for state rep. You mentioned on the show, and you just touched on it there as well, that you said that part of your motivation is because you have seen firsthand what it's like living in an area where the government is not representing the people, and it's not doing the best interest of its citizens. And that is something that you want to make sure that is happening here in our area. I don't want to speak for you, but is that did I get that right?
You're absolutely 100% right. That real quickly,
yeah.
Spending time in Iraq, I expected to go over and meet a bunch of monsters. I got there, and what I saw was a bunch of really good people that wanted the same things we want here. They want to provide for them and their families. They want to be left alone from their government, and they want to be able to live a free life. And what I found out was the government over there, the Iraqi government, while they were trying to rebuild, and especially in Kurdistan, where it's a little bit more stable, they still have governments that represent the governments, the individual people in the governments, rather than the people they're serving. And the people live in fear every day, not only fear of the bad guys coming in and getting them, but fear of politics, fear of not having any money. They live in fear of almost everything because their government does not provide any protections for them.
Yeah, religious prosecution too. I would love to pick your brain on the national headlines we've been seeing, like Portland right now. What are they? 50 some days into their riots, and the president has not been able to send in the federal agencies yet on a mass scale. Although our Governor Parsons asked for him to send in, and he did, 200 agents to the Kansas City area. What's your opinion about that when you see the headlines everybody else is seeing, Richard?
Well, again, we have to be, I believe strongly in our 10th Amendment, which is our state's rights. We have to be careful with what's going on with that. I think the leaders in these particular areas are falling short. They should be asking the federal government for help, if not manpower wise, at least money wise, and maybe some guidance wise, because I'm just going to refer back real quickly to, there was an alderman in St. Louis City last week that spoke out, and she was begging for the mayor to bring back the mobile reserve unit, begging the mayor to bring back police to her communities. And they were saying, and she lives in some of the worst parts of St. Louis City, and she's begging, please bring back our police. We support the police. We want the police. These are good people that live in these areas that are not being protected by their government.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Obviously, we're on a show called Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Your stance on Second Amendment rights. I mean, you obviously are a mayor, so you have some control of that, but you'll have even more influence if you're in the state house there. What are your where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
Well, the Second Amendment is one of, if you look at my push card, one of my biggest things that I'm paying attention to. We've already whittled away at enough of our Second Amendment rights. We need to stop, and we need to start reversing some of these things. So I'm all for Second Amendment. I'm all for less restrictions on any of our Second Amendment rights.
Let me follow up specifically on red flag laws. I assume you're interested in, are familiar with what a red flag law is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it is something that has caught on across the country. We've even seen some very Republican, very red states and red areas adopting red flag laws, which is a big head scratcher for me. And we've talked a lot on this show about the Democrats in Missouri that are trying to get red flag laws in parts of this state. Where do you stand on red flag laws? And also, if you could, I could do it, explain what it is for people that don't exactly know what a red flag law is.
Well, let's start out with red flag laws are low-hanging fruit to me. It's easy to convince somebody that's not very well versed on the Second Amendment and what it stands for. It's very easy to tell these people, well, we're just trying to curb gun violence. We're trying to do this or that.
And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Go ahead.
It's low hanging fruit. So it's easy for them to mold this in and say, look, we're just trying to do good. When in reality, on the back end, what they're doing is whittling away at your gun rights. Mm-hmm. So, we need people in position in our state level and at our federal level that know that this is what they're doing. They're not, it's a feel good thing. Whenever we have something happen, the first thing we want to do is say, oh, well, let's find a way to curb these, make people feel good about it. The fact of this is a lot of it has to do with mental health and what happens. And what they want to do is they want to say, okay, well, now we're going to start whittling away at mental health people. And well, who determines that is, you guys have talked about it before. You know where I'm going with this. There's a lot of interpretation that goes into all of the red flag laws, and it depends on who's on the other end interpreting what is what.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if I answered your question there.
No, you did.
And I would like to interject that, the Second Amendment is so vast and so important for so many. And the problem is the killings we're seeing in our major cities like Chicago or Portland or Seattle or Baltimore or Philadelphia or St. Louis or Kansas City. The problem, you can make all these, changes to the Second Amendment, but the bad guys and the bad girls are not paying attention to what those laws are. They will always be able to get guns some way, somehow. So when the restrictions of the Second Amendment are done, it's only hurting the law-abiding citizens. That's the sad part.
Right. Well, what I'd like to see more of is stronger prosecution against gun violators.
Yes.
You know, right now, I mean, we're going into a whole other subject here, but right now, you know, I think we're softening up on criminals and we're allowing the criminals to have more leeway. And in doing so, they're just going to keep going and going and going. And now, I mean, look what happened in Richmond Heights yesterday with the shooting at the mall. That's horrible. You can't even go to a mall and walk around freely without this happening. Now they're going to say, well, this is a gun issue. Well, it's not a gun issue. This is somebody who didn't need to have a gun because they're, you know, of what their intentions were. Probably, I'm not even going to go that route, but, you know.
Nobody listens, Richard. There's nobody listening.
Probably had a criminal history.
Probably
had a criminal history of some sort and, you know, probably couldn't even own a gun legally. Good legal gun owners don't walk around doing this kind of thing. And what it's hurting is the good legal gun owners.
So,
and we need to start prosecuting. We need to start holding people accountable for what they're doing, not just in gun laws, but with everything else. It seems like nowadays the bad guys have the upper hand.
Yeah.
And we're not prosecuting. And, you know, the police are doing their job, and it gets to the court, the prosecutors, and maybe the prosecutors will prosecute, maybe they won't, but then it gets to the judges, and the judges let them right back out or give them, you know, time served or leniency and let them out, and then they're just back out doing the same things.
So speaking
recidivism rate is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of prosecutors, and I know that probably where Bo was going also, the biggest story in our area and maybe even nationally right now is, of course, what's happening with the McCloskeys and Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner are deciding to press charges against them and not press charges against many other people. You know, she even admits that she has a backlog of cases that she hasn't been able to get to, but she has still made the decision to accelerate this to the front of the line and make it her priority. As a mayor and as a potential member of the State House here in Missouri, what are your thoughts on that case and how it's being handled by Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner?
Okay. Well, thank you for that question. I think this is a great opportunity to get some information out there. I'm going to throw in my legalese as a police officer and knowing some things that happened in the past. Number one, I don't think that Mrs. McCloskey was very smart in the way that she did what she did. I think she had every right to do what she did. She obviously knew that weapon was not a working weapon when it was given to her. So maybe that is the reason she did what she did, had her finger in the trigger, in the trigger guard, and was waving it around at people.
Richard, I want to say this real quick. I'm so glad that you started with that because it's refreshing to hear somebody that is able to give criticism on one side, even if it's the side that you are ultimately on and or defending. These days, it's like we have to take one side. We don't see any gray area. You're either with us or against us. Nobody works together. You're either on, you know, you're either, if you defend the protesters, you think the McCloskeys should be in prison forever. If you defend the McCloskeys, then you think that all protesters should be thrown in jail and it should be completely illegal. And it's just not that way. There's gray area, and it's okay to criticize or critique your own side. And it's something that I am always preaching about, and it's just really refreshing to hear somebody say that maybe there were some mistakes made on this side, but that doesn't mean that you're taking the other side. You just can hold two thoughts in your head at once. So sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say that that's a refreshing thing to hear. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, in having said that, I want people to understand that is the way a policeman thinks. Mm. So policemen always aren't out there trying to find the good or the bad. I'll go into that in a second, but let me go on with the McCloskeys. So whether or not, I'm guessing that she understood that weapon was not a working weapon, and maybe that's why she did what she did. Not a smart move, but it's not an illegal move either. So moving on from that, from what I saw of her husband, I really didn't see him violating and I didn't see the whole thing, but I really didn't see him violating the trigger guard or the trigger and or pointing weapons directly at people. So having said that, I think the bigger issue here is if you all remember, not too long ago, Kim Gardner made a list of policemen that she said she wasn't going to work with because she believed they lied and or fabricated evidence. That was her excuse. Mm-hmm. How does she come across telling us now that she can fabricate evidence by putting that gun back together in a working order so that she could prosecute these people? That is wrong. I mean, this is, I'm surprised nobody's really touching on this bigger issue here. She fabricated evidence to prosecute these people. And that's just, that's where I'm really bothered with this whole thing. If she can do that with this case,
yeah,
and obviously had somebody speak out against her, yeah, what can she do in other places? What kind of evidence can she manufacture in other places? She's already manufactured evidence against our previous sitting governor.
We consume so much news. This is actually the first time I've heard that the firearm she was carrying was not in working order. In what way?
Apparently, mm-hmm, the firing pin was not either engaged and or inserted. And she had her lab people put the gun back together so that it was a working gun.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't.
I wasn't sure that. I didn't know that she... I never knew for sure if she knew or not that it didn't work. I knew the gun didn't work. I'd heard that they had taken it back, and you know, because they confiscated that gun and the AR that Mr. McCloskey was holding. And when the authorities got them and took them apart, you know, like looked at them, took them apart, and whatever, they realized that it was not a working gun. I didn't know for sure what one way or the other whether she knew that when it was happening or not. You would hope she would.
But even if she didn't know then, she knows now. She hasn't retracted her thoughts on whether to prosecute or not.
Yep.
So you know, I have real issues with that. Now we have your top prosecutorial elected official. Either I'm not saying, and I may have misspoke before, I'm not saying she purposely had them manufacture that evidence, but she does know about it now.
Right.
And I would think that
I don't know one way or the other. You may be, I don't know. I just don't know one way or the other if she knew or not, but it is a fact that it was not a working firearm. We know that.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I was headed to the range one time and I grabbed my wife's Walther P-22. And I had all intentions of running a couple of hundred rounds through it. I get out there and it wasn't firing at all. And I was like, what's going on? So I had to have it repaired. So my point is, I would say, me being pretty versed around firearms and didn't know that that had happened to this firearm, that I guarantee you she probably reached in her purse or you know, her nightstand or wherever it was and just ran out there, in my opinion. I'm just thinking, why would she walk out there with a non-working firearm?
Well, apparently this firearm, now I'm going by reports that I've seen.
Yeah.
This firearm was used actually in a defense case that they were working and was apparently laying on the counter. So she actually used a prop that was used in a court case.
Oh, boy.
I'm guessing she probably had to know. Now, is right, wrong, or indifferent? That's not a very smart thing to do. First of all, you're calling somebody's bluff. What are you going to do? I mean, if somebody would have shot her, they would have been within the rights to do so because they didn't know that the gun was working.
Right.
Or not.
Wow. Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things here that weren't very smart on her, but smart and illegal are two different things.
Yeah. No, that's
a great
point. I've
been a prosecutor before with a gun case with a non-working gun, and the prosecutor would not issue because the gun was not working.
So we're talking to Richard West. He's the mayor of New Melle, and he is running for state rep in District 63. Before we run out of time here, Richard, want to just touch on a couple other issues with you. Being the mayor of New Melle, you probably had to make some decisions in this area already, but where do you stand on the entire COVID-19 situation? Kids are going to be going back to school here in a couple of months. There's been story after story of school, you know, some school districts, the Catholic schools are all going to open up and kids are going to be back in classes. My kids are going to not go back to class. We just found out this week, at least initially, it's going to all be virtual learning. Where do you stand on the coronavirus situation?
Well, I'm going to sum this up real quickly. And this kind of my beliefs that the American Academy of Pediatrics has recently put out a statement saying that the benefit to go back to school outweighs the risk of COVID. And I tend to lean with that statement. I believe there's a virus out there. I believe it's dangerous. However, it's I think from the information we're given that it's I'm not going to say harmless, but it's less effective on our younger population. And, you know, to build a herd immunity, I think getting our kids back to school is more important. I think we're doing more damage by keeping these kids out of school.
Yeah, you know, I want to point out that in one of the coronavirus task force this week, I heard President Trump say that the median age for death of COVID-19, do you know what it is, guys? Here's a trivia question for you if you didn't see it. Any idea?
I don't know, but I'll guess 43.
Oh, I'm going to guess like 65.
78.
Wow.
78 is the median age.
Yeah, so there you go.
You look at the bell curve on that, and we need to get this country roaring again. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw some numbers. Now, this has been back a few weeks ago, but it was something like the number of people in the United States under the age of 25 that have died from COVID-19 was like in the double digits. Then under 25 was in the double digits. And then think about that, because we've had hundreds of thousands of people die from it, but almost no young people, to sort of highlight your point, Richard.
And the hybrid school or the online school, it's just not the same. My wife and I've been talking about it so much. It's like you miss out on so much. It's just, we need to get these kids back. The teachers get, you know, the teachers would be the most vulnerable, I would think. But I know that there's a lot of unknowns. When I heard that median age of 78, I was like, what are we even doing?
I know, that's incredible. I have kids, and my oldest is a senior and is starting her senior year. She's devastated that she might be missing out on it. She's very active in the school and the orchestra and the musicals that they do there, and, you know, looking forward to her senior year. And she didn't get to go to her junior prom because the prom was right when the whole lockdown went into effect, and she thought, well, I missed my junior prom, but at least I'll get my senior prom, and now that's up in the air. So she's devastated. And to your point about kids learning, Bo, my oldest is a great student. She's got a 4.3 grade point average. She can learn. She'll find a way to learn and make sure she's doing what she needs to do, even if it is virtually. My middle child, who is in going into fourth grade, needs to be in a classroom. Right, she is not. She cannot focus on a screen and turn and work on her time. And I really feel like she is being damaged by this. That she is not learning the way that she should be learning at her age, because she's one of those kids that needs to be in the classroom. She can't. She needs to have her attention focused on something, and it's
she needs that camaraderie. Mayor, do you have small children or school age children?
No. My youngest is 23 now. So,
oh, thank goodness.
My wife and I were just speaking this morning. We're glad that our children are grown and on their own, and we don't have to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
That is Richard West. He is the mayor of New Melle. He's also running for state rep in District 63. One more time, Richard, before we let you go, tell people how they can learn more about you if they are so inclined.
The easiest way is just go out on the internet and type in Go West for Missouri. My Facebook page is Go West for Missouri. Website is gowestformissouri.com. I have an email, gowestformissouri@hotmail.com. And again, I'll give out my phone number because I'm not afraid to take calls from anybody. 636-578-9574.
That is Richard West. He's running for state rep. He's also the mayor of New Melle. And we appreciate your time on the show and putting in a little extra time here on the podcast exclusive with us, Richard. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You bet. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you back here next week for more Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.